Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for who you are this morning. We thank you for the grace that we've just sung. And Lord, that grace abounds in so many ways. We could be here endlessly praising you for that. And yet, Lord, we pause in this moment to thank you for the grace of your salvation. We thank you for the grace of your word in our lives. Thank you for forgiving us the grace to have eyes to see and ears to hear and minds to process the truth of your word. But I pray, God, that we would not merely be hearers of that word today as we hear it and as we see it, but that we would be doers of it. That by your Spirit, that you would help us to be obedient to the things that you call us to. And so help us to that end, Lord. We acknowledge our need for you, but we also acknowledge that you are faithful and that you are gracious. And so, Lord, we claim that again today as we open your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you read through the Psalms, I'm sure most of us have done that over different times of our life, you'll find that one of the most dominant themes that you find within the Psalms is the theme of praise and thanksgiving. And I think especially in particular in the last third of these 150 Psalms that we have. And so in preaching through a selective number of Psalms in this series, which will be coming to a close here in December, I wanted to devote at least one Psalm to that particular theme, and I figured it would be appropriate to do that the Sunday before Thanksgiving, as actually next Sunday, some of us from my family will be in Vancouver for the first time in almost 3 years, and so we're thankful for that opportunity. Needless to say, a thankful heart shouldn't just show up on Thanksgiving weekend, right? As a Christian, it really should be part of who we are. Should identify who we are as believers. It should be a mark of our spiritual character where we are growing in our recognition of God's goodness in our life, even when things are not going so good. Because we know that God works everything for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. It's understanding that everything we are in Christ and everything we have comes from the hand of our gracious God. And so a Christ-centered person should certainly also be a thankful person. It's actually God's will for us to be a thankful people. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 92 says exactly that, verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It is good because it glorifies God and who he is. It is good because it strengthens our faith in God. It is good because it produces contentment in us and squelches discontentment. And it is good because it encourages others in their circumstances. I think all of us here this morning would agree that we all need to be thankful, right? But it's another thing to actually be thankful, isn't it? And so this morning we want to consider the nature of a thankful heart from Psalm 138. And I think in the process we want to ask God to produce in us this kind of a thankful heart. So let's take a look at this together. First of all, I want you to see that a thankful heart is intentional. The first four words of the psalm make that clear as it says, I give you thanks. In the NASB, he says, I will give you thanks. David is making a vow here to intentionally be thankful to God. Now, why would he need to do that? Because David, like all of us, don't always feel like giving thanks, right? How many times have we found ourselves, and as we get up on Sunday mornings, have woke up with this anticipation and attitude of, oh, I can't wait to get to church and give thanks to the Lord. I mean, how many of us naturally do that as we should? I mean, often we're struggling with that. We're struggling with being thankful because perhaps of our own busyness, perhaps of our preoccupation with things, because of other distractions in our life. Maybe there's some of you super spiritual people that are always praising the Lord and giving thanks for everything in your life, and that's just what you do. But for the rest of us, it's not something we all naturally practice and feel like doing. And so for that reason, we need to be intentional about being a thankful people. It's a story about a little boy who was asked by his father to pray for the meal one day. And so as the family was waiting for the little boy to pray, the little guy's looking at all the food in front of him. And all the food that mom prepared, and after this thorough examination of all the food that was on the table, he finally bowed his head and he prayed this. He said, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it, and I'll eat it anyway. Amen." Okay, that's making a choice to be thankful even when you don't feel like it. Are you and I choosing to give thanks in our life? We have many reasons to do so, which we will look at in this psalm. But like many other things, developing a thankful heart takes practice, takes a conscious effort, it takes determination, and it takes all of those things with God's help. Second, a thankful heart is God-centered. Continues in verse 1, and he says, "I give you thanks, O Lord." The focus of David's thankfulness was on God. Okay, when you and I are thankful, when you and I are choosing to give thanks, where is our thanks directed? Let me just show you an example of this. If you have your Bibles open, turn over to Luke chapter 17 for a moment. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. This is the story of the 10 lepers. Luke 17, 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Okay, so here's 10 guys that have been suffering with this awful condition called leprosy. It's not only a miserable condition, it's a very painful condition. And to have that condition made you an outcast in society. You couldn't be around anybody else except those that were in the same situation you were in. And one day Jesus shows up, and they, for whatever reason, however it happened, they recognized him, they recognized that Jesus was the one who had probably healed other people and had that reputation. They knew about it, and so they call out to him, and they beg Jesus to heal them. And that is exactly what he did. And yet, what is really interesting about the story is that only one out of the 10 came back to thank Jesus. And sometimes maybe we've heard the story told this way. Well, how come the nine weren't thankful, but there was only one that was thankful? I think all 10 of the guys were thankful. Who wouldn't be thankful for having this awful disease, and now I'm completely healed of it, and I can be a normal part of society today? No, I think all of these guys were healed. Here's the difference. Nine lost their sight of the source of their healing, and one didn't. And so what are you and I thankful for this morning? I mean, we could go on with a massive list, I'm sure. Are you thankful for a new child? Are you thankful for physical health? Are you thankful for your financial needs being met? Are you thankful for your friends, your family, and so on? Well, sure, that's good to be thankful for those things. But it's one thing to be thankful for those things. It's another thing to be thankful to the source that has graciously given those things to you. Anything you're thankful for should be expressed and directed back to God. And so the object of our gratitude needs to expand from something, whatever the object is that we're thankful for, to someone, and that someone being God. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or no shadow due to change. And then I think this point is reinforced in the second half of verse 1 when he goes on to say, before the gods I sing your praise. Before the gods, I sing your praise. This is gods here is likely the idea of referring to the false gods or the idols of the pagan nations that were surrounding Israel, which would have been the typical world in which David was living, the typical world in which we live today. And David here is just simply saying, I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to lose courage of praising and giving thanks to the one true God in the midst of a world that is in opposition to God and is in opposition to God's ways. I was in Sam's Club a few months ago, and I was just grabbing a piece of pizza while Kathy was shopping. It's always way more fun to eat than it is to shop. Yeah, lots of amens there. Anyway, as I'm eating, I'm sitting at the table, and I happen to notice three teenagers, kind of middle school through high school. They're sitting at a table just kind of one or two tables away from me, kind of kitty corner away from me. And good-looking kids, look like typical teenagers to me. And they had their pizza in front of them, and as they sat down, I noticed that all three of them just bowed their head together. And I just paid attention to that, just caught my attention, and it was a real blessing to me, actually. And I don't know these guys from Adam. I mean, I don't know who they are. I don't know their names. I don't know anything about their faith. I don't know if they're believers. But it looked to me, by my observation, that they were bowing their heads and giving thanks to God in a very public place just for the food they were going to eat. Actually, I went up to them after and I said, thanks for doing that. Thanks for being an example of doing that in public. A super small example, okay? A super small example of praising God in a pagan culture that's growing more and more in opposition to the things of God and to God himself. So a thankful heart is intentional. Secondly, a thankful heart is God-centered. Thirdly, a thankful heart is dedicated. Okay, we're still in verse 1. We're making progress here. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Being thankful is not merely something we give lip service to. It's not something that we do in a half-hearted way. David says, I do with my whole heart. Okay, it's an expression of genuine, sincere devotion and commitment to praising and thanking God with his whole life. Now, a fair question to ask is why? Why is David so dedicated to this? Why is it such a wholehearted issue for him? Why is his heart welling over with thanksgiving to God? It's a fair question. I think verse 2 helps us see the answer. He says, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. A wholehearted thanks to God, then, and this is, I think, what verse 2 is telling us, will develop as you grow in your relationship with God and begin to understand who God is. You see, you and I become most thankful for those we love the most. And as David considers the steadfastness, love of God, and the proven faithfulness of God, and the enduring word of God, he becomes more and more thankful. It becomes a wholehearted thing for him. David's praise had substance behind it. The idea here is that David's thanks is based on who God is. It's based on his attributes. It's based on his character. And so he says, I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love. That means God's loyal, his covenantal love, which simply means that his love is unconditional for us. Verse 8 refers to the fact that his love is infinite for us. God's love is so amazing that though you and I were in our sin and in rebellion against God, God sent Jesus, his son, to earth to become sin for us. In other words, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He took God's wrath on our behalf so that we could be forgiven, that we could be reconciled to God and enjoy God's perfect love forever. That's God's love. And God loves you so much that he not only can save you from your sin, but he promises to transform you from your sinful ways. He trims the sinful branches in your life that you might bear godly fruit and look more like Jesus. That's God's love. And then Romans 8 describes for us that this love is so great that there's nothing that you can do and there's nothing that anyone else can do to somehow separate us from God's love. God's love will be eternally loyal to you. God will never use your sin against you if you've repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ. You say, well, that sounds like the gospel. It is the gospel. God demonstrating his love on the cross for sinners is the gospel. And so the more you understand your own sinfulness and how impossible it is to please God by your performance, the more you will appreciate and give thanks for God's provision for you. That's a cause to give thanks to God. And so David knew that. He knew that this love was from God. He knew that God was faithfully producing and exhibiting that love within David's life. We'll look more about God's faithfulness here in a minute, but that David also says he's thankful for God's truth, which of course is primarily revealed in his word. And he says, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. So it's actually a stunning statement here because this actually tells us the incredible regard that God has for his own word. Okay, he's not elevating his word above his character, but he's putting his character on the line through his word. Okay, it'd be like God saying, if my word is false, then who I am is false. Okay, so the Word of God is not greater than God. The Word of God points us to God and reveals who God is to us. Maybe another way of saying it is that God has exalted His name or who He is through His Word. Now, the fact that God's Word is truth is pointing us to the reality that God is truth. That who He is and what He says is unwavering. Meaning that God will never change in a changing world, and therefore we can always anchor our lives in everything we think and everything we do on His truth. In other words, you can always trust God. That is a cause for us to give thanks. So here's the point about the point. It's pretty tough to be thankful to a God that we don't know very well. So there's a direct correlation here, I think, with knowing God's love and experiencing God's faithfulness and being in God's Word with having a thankful heart. I was thinking about this, and I think this is an accurate assessment. I don't think I've ever met a godly man or a godly woman who is also not a thankful man and a thankful woman. I think the two go together. This morning, maybe you're struggling with having this kind of heart, having a thankful heart. And perhaps maybe you need to rekindle in response to that a pursuit of knowing God and spending time in His Word. Perhaps for some of you here this morning, it means putting your faith in Jesus Christ for the very first time. As you begin then to understand God's love, and as you begin to experience His faithfulness, you might be surprised what God will do in producing within you a thankful heart. It will come as you get to know Him and as you grow in your understanding of who He is. Okay, number four. A thankful heart reflects on God's faithfulness. Okay, verse 3, on the day I called, you answered me, my strength of soul you increased. Okay, David is specifically remembering how God answered prayer for him. And in the process, how God strengthened him. And so David is saying here, when I needed God, He was there for me when no one else was. That God helped me when I was down. That God provided for me when I didn't know where to turn. How God strengthened me to fight against this giant warrior of a guy named Goliath with a sling and a stone. And to defeat him. And did you hear the passage, 2 Samuel 22 this morning? I mean, I'm just sitting there reading that with Pastor Brian. I'm going, it's exactly what he's talking about here in the psalm. He's reflecting on God's faithfulness, and he's talking about all the situations that he was in and how God was faithful to him. You see, in order to maintain a thankful heart, it's important that we remember the past of how God has answered prayer and demonstrated His grace to us. And I think this is really an application of the last point. Okay, we need to think about how God has demonstrated His love and faithfulness to us. We need to think about how God has been true to the promises of His Word in our life. How God has protected us from temptation and various sins, or perhaps given us victory over what seems like a Goliath-like sin. Or how God has given us wisdom in a particular situation or in a particular conversation that we've had. How God has given us strength in the midst of loss or heartache, or how He's supplied our financial needs, or maybe even your faith promise. You can go on and on. One of the reasons that we don't have a thankful heart is because we quickly forget all that God has done in our lives. And that's why so much of Scripture, like what we heard this morning earlier in 2 Samuel 22, is a record of God's faithfulness. And that is why the Scriptures even warn us not to forget that stuff. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." And so hearing testimonies, like we heard this morning, is a way that reminds us of God's faithfulness. Reading missionary or Christian biographies reminds us of God's faithfulness in someone else's life. Something that we do as a family every Thanksgiving is we go around the table and everyone says at least five things that they're thankful for. Well, is that just a tradition? Well, it is a tradition, but it's more than a tradition. It's an important exercise in remembering the goodness and grace of God in our lives. Maybe it's a prayer journal as a way to track how God has faithfully answered prayer over the years in your life. It doesn't matter how you do it, but it's important that we do it. It's important that we remember our past blessings from God if we're going to have a thankful heart. Reflecting on God's faithfulness in the past fuels thankfulness to God in the present. Reflecting on God's faithfulness in the past fuels thankfulness to God in the present. Number five, a thankful heart desires all to know God. Verse 4, "All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord." David's in his mind is thinking, I can't wait to see the whole world know the God that I know and give thanks to him. See, a thankful person doesn't just keep what he's thankful for to himself. When you get a scholarship, you become thankful for it, and then you tell everybody. When you have a new child, you're thankful for that child, and then you tell everybody. In this case, David wants all kings, which are really a representation of all nations, to know God and to know the God that he knows so that they will also worship him and give thanks to him. And that is why other passages, for example, like Psalm 96 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." If you're a Christian and you're growing in your appreciation for who God is and the gift of salvation that he has given you, you will find yourselves wanting to tell others about him. And one day, all kings and all nations will give thanks. Okay, we're not there yet, as you know, right? But one day we will be. Because one day, all will bow their knee to God and all will confess Jesus as Lord. But in the meantime, we are to make God known by making his word and the gospel known. Number six, a thankful heart is humble. It's also in verse six, "For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar." In David considering himself to be lowly, he's not talking down about himself. He simply sees who he is in light of who God is. Okay, that's a healthy perspective. In other words, he understands that the world doesn't revolve around him and his ego. It's not about his notoriety and his glory, which is exactly what the world wants, but it is about God's notoriety and God's glory. See, humility is synonymous with a thankful heart because a humble heart sees his need for God and he understands and appreciates that all that he is and all that he has is not because he's deserving of it. It's not because he's entitled to it. It's not because of what he's done to get it. But it's because God is a God full of grace and full of mercy. That's it. He's God and I'm not. That in itself should humble us and should keep us humble. Proverbs 3 verse 34 says, "Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor." Of course, James 4 6 says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." A thankful heart is always a humble heart. Number 7, a thankful heart is not circumstantial. Again, verse 7, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me." Okay, David is expressing a thankful heart even in the context of difficulties and troubles and threats in his life. And again, we read about what some of those were in 2 Samuel 22. Now, we don't know specifically what he's referring to here, but we certainly know that David had a lot of troubles in his life. He experienced a lot of difficulties in his life. People trying to kill him. Multiple dangerous situations of a lion and a bear and Goliath and multiple other circumstances. And yet, he remains thankful because he knows that God is still in control and that God is bigger than his circumstances. Now, you may be in the midst of difficulties yourself this morning, and you may hear a point like this and say, this is crazy. How do you maintain a thankful heart when life is falling apart? How do you maintain a thankful heart when your heart's hurting or broken? I think Hebrews 13:15 helps us with this when it says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." I think sometimes when we praise God and try to intentionally be thankful to God, we must sacrifice our feelings of hurt and discouragement and struggles and intentionally give God the praise that he rightly deserves. And by doing so, that is not denying our hurt, and it's not denying our discouragement, and it's not denying the struggle that we're in. But what we're doing is we're elevating the reality of who God is as being greater than the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And so verses like James 1:2 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I think one of the reasons God calls us to give thanks in difficult times is that it gets our focus off of our circumstances and it gets them back on where they should be, and that is on God. And as a result of that, God will bring encouragement and God will bring hope to our hearts. Number 8, a thankful heart demonstrates confidence in God. This is the last point. End of verse 7. Which I just read, speaks to David's confidence. And then you get to verse 8 here. He says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." David here is expressing his trust that God knew what he was doing. that God's plans were perfect and that they were going to be perfected even in his difficult circumstances. Now, David doesn't know how. He doesn't know when this is going to happen. But he knew that God wouldn't let him down because he knew God well enough to know that. Do you and I know God well enough to know that God's plans are best for us? Do you and I know that even though we perhaps may be waiting on God for an important decision in our life and trying to figure out a particular direction in our life, that we can trust his sovereignty? See, when you know that, you can confidently thank him for that. Do you thank God for what he's going to do in your life? Do you thank God for the things that you're currently praying about? And you say, well, wait a second. I mean, is that the order in which we're supposed to do that? That's exactly the order in which we're supposed to do that. Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make all your requests known to God. Well, that's interesting. With thanksgiving here is not being made after the prayer is answered, but in the process of the prayer and making the request to God. It's actually expressing confidence in how God will answer and what he will do and being thankful, knowing that it'll be for my good and it will be for God's glory. So, believer, do you have a thankful heart today? Do people know us to be a grumbler, or do people know us to be a person of gratitude? Truth is, we all need God to help us, don't we? We all need to develop a thankful heart, probably more than what it is. And so, may our hearts, first of all, be stirred for who God is. I think that's where it starts. If you don't have that, you really have nothing else. And so may our hearts, first of all, be stirred for who God is, and as a result of that, find our hearts growing with thanks to God for who he is, for what he has done, and for what he will continue to do. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we pause after reading and studying this psalm together. And Lord, as we hold that psalm up to us like a mirror, it certainly does convict all of us to some degree or another that our hearts are probably not as thankful, and we probably are not exercising our thankfulness to you as we ought. And so, Lord, we acknowledge our need for your help in that. Help us, Lord, to recognize who you are. Help us to be faithful in spending time in your word that we might grow in our understanding of you, that we might identify your faithfulness in our lives, that we might appreciate the truths of your word and the promises that you bestow and act out on our behalf. Lord, protect us from thinking so temporarily, perhaps of our own circumstances and perhaps of the things we don't know and maybe we're becoming anxious about. And yet, Lord, for our own good, we need to give you thanks. And for your glory, we need to give you thanks. And so we do that this morning. We do that publicly this morning. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you that you are true to who your word claims you to be. And we thank you, God, for your redemptive story and your redemptive act on our behalf to save us from our sins. And we thank you, God, that you are on the throne today and you will be on the throne tomorrow. We thank you that you are sovereign over all things in every circumstance in our life. And so, Lord, help us to take our eyes off of our circumstances and to put them back on you. And in that, Lord, we can give thanks for who you are and what you do and what you will do in our lives. Lord, help us to practice this even this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.